Disc 2.
Chapter 5. That night felt like the longest and most terrible the Baudelaire orphans had ever had, and they'd had plenty. There was one night, shortly after Sunny was born, that all three children had a horrible flu, and tossed and turned in the grasp of a terrible fever, while their father tried to soothe them all at once, placing cold washcloths on their sweaty brows. The night after their parents had been killed, the three children had stayed at Mr. Poe's house, and had stayed up all night, too miserable and confused to even try to sleep. And of course they had spent many a long and terrible night while living with Count Olaf. But this particular night seemed worse. From the moment of Monty's arrival until bedtime, Stefano kept the children under his constant surveillance, a phrase which here means kept watching them so they couldn't possibly talk to Uncle Monty alone and reveal that he was really Count Olaf. And Uncle Monty was too preoccupied to think that anything unusual was going on. When they brought in the rest of Uncle Monty's purchases, Stefano carried bags with only one hand, keeping the other one in his coat pocket, where the long knife was hidden. But Uncle Monty was too excited about all the new supplies to ask about it. When they went into the kitchen to prepare dinner, Stefano smiled menacingly at the children as he sliced mushrooms, but Uncle Monty was too busy making sure the stroganoff sauce didn't boil to even notice that Stefano was using his own threatening knife for the chopping. Over dinner, Stefano told funny stories and praised Monty's scientific work, and Uncle Monty was so flattered he didn't even think to guess that Stefano was holding a knife under the table, rubbing the blade gently against Violet's knee for the entire meal. And when Uncle Monty announced that he would spend the evening showing his new assistant around the reptile room, he was too eager to realize that the Baudelaire simply went up to bed without a word. For the first time, having individual bedrooms seemed like a hardship rather than a luxury, for without one another's company, the orphans felt even more lonely and helpless. Violet stared at the paper tacked to her wall and tried to imagine what Stefano was planning. Klaus sat in his large cushioned chair and turned on his brass reading lamp, but was too worried to even open a book. Sunny stared at her hard objects, but didn't bite a single one of them. All three children thought of walking down the hall to Uncle Monty's room and waking him up to tell him what was wrong, but to get to his bedroom they would have to walk past the room in which Stefano was staying, and all night long Stefano kept watch in a chair placed in front of his open door. When the orphans opened their doors to peer down the dark hallway, they saw Stefano's pale, shaved head, which seemed to be floating above his body in the darkness, and they could see his knife, which Stefano was moving slowly, like the pendulum of a grandfather clock. Back and forth it went, back and forth, glinting in the dim light, and the sight was so fearsome they didn't dare try walking down the hallway. Finally, the light in the house turned the pale blue-grey of early dawn, and the Baudelaire children walked blearily down the stairs to breakfast, tired and achy from their sleepless night. They sat around the table, where they had eaten cake on their first morning at the house, and picked listlessly at their food. For the first time since their arrival at Uncle Monty's, they were not eager to enter the reptile room and begin the day's work. "I suppose we have to go in now," Violet said finally, putting aside her scarcely nibbled toast. "I'm sure Uncle Monty has already started working and is expecting us."
"And I'm sure that Stefano is there too," Klaus said, staring glumly into his cereal bowl. "We'll never get a chance to tell Uncle Monty what we know about him."
"Inga,"
Sunny said sadly, dropping her untouched raw carrot to the floor.
"If only Uncle Monty knew what we know," Violet said, "and Stefano knew that he knew what..."
Uncle